challenged by, as the ruling party, that we have to make sure that we are in these meetings all the time. And because we only have the 54 members in the NCOP, we very often find that we are stretched, and that is the only reason why we would want to follow the clock and not wait any longer for members who may arrive late. Before we start, I think it's going to be important to just mention to the members that we will talk about the matter after the presentation, but Honorable Father and our Secretary of the Committee, Mr. Tini Zulu, are not here. I have been communicated with by our Secretary, who indicated that Mr. Tuvega has no problem to send in for her. It is a standard rule. I'll drink tea for the acting, for the chairperson and the acting chairperson. I also then just wanted to share with the members that there is another matter related to our oversight that we would want to share with you after we through the presentation. Honorable Minister, the four members that are here all from the ruling party. It might be opportune that we follow the way we did it last week, where we get the members to introduce themselves and then give over to the minister to lead us in the presentation. And Honorable Minister, you will decide how and when you introduce the staff of the Department of Transport to us. My name is Eddie Makuwe. I'm representing the province of Gauteng, and I am sitting in for our chairperson, Honorable Suka, who has been redeployed to the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, where he is serving as the chief one. And until such time that our leadership of the NCOP has appointed someone else to chair, it is my honor to take on this responsibility. I am wearing another hat in another committee, where I am chairing the Committee on Trade, Industry, International Relations, where we also deal with the Department of Tourism. Can we hand over to you, sir?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the Minister and his team. My name is Kumoto, my surname is Ntene, I'm from the Northwest. Good morning, Honorable Minister and President of the Sovereign Minister, George Chimone, I come from Pumalanga.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Minister. My name is
Thank you very much. Mr. Deputy Minister, can we then, well, hand over to you, please.
And we also continue the introduction, or do we go into the business of the day?
We're leaving it to you to determine how you wish to deal with it.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think, like you did it, I must also follow suit and say my name is Dipo Peters. I'm the NCT employee in the transport center.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Cindy Chip.
Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Nuri Abula Makama. I am the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning. My name is Ekmes Matiba from the Minister of Transport.
Good morning, Mr. Kiel, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Mawe Trevilan from the Department of Transport, DDG responsible for integrating transport planning.
Honourable Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members, my name is Sonny Uchani, responsible for road engineering standards.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. My name is Nosi Poslopebo. I am responsible for maritime.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister. Members, Honourable Members, my name is Vakele Tuano. I'm responsible for civil aviation at the department.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Jay, the Minister of the Acting DG Rail.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Colin Sussan of the CFO.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Osara Mansi. I'm responsible for strategic planning and monitoring.
Thank you very much, Minister. Just indulge with me for half a minute more. There are two members that have joined us, and we'd want them to introduce themselves and our secretary.
Judas Bauder from Copenhagen.
Thank you, Chair. Minister and Deputy Minister colleagues, my name is Mdomo Shekaula, member of the NCOP from the Kingdom of KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shopeka Mdile. I'm the Acting Committee Secretary.
Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Select Committee. We are honored and very happy as the Department of Transport to be here today to can present to the Select Committee as well as to speak to members of the Portfolio Committee about, I mean the Select Committee about challenges that we are faced with as a sector responsible for transport, in particular the four modes of transport in the Republic of South Africa. Chairperson, I'm just going to introduce the members, but also to indicate that we have an unfortunate situation today where the Director General of the Department fell sick yesterday and was booked off sick, and he requested the DDG responsible for public transport to lead the delegation. It is Mr. Matabaka, the one sitting at the tail end of the pews. Last year, when we were before the committee, we did not have a DG, and I'm happy to indicate that the recommendations of the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee to make sure that we start having stability in terms of the leadership of the department has happened, and with effect from the 1st of March, we had the DG, namely Mr. Pulisi, and we are busy in the process of making sure that we can deal with the other vacancies at the senior level, especially the DDGs and chief directors, so as to make sure that we could be able to deliver on the mandate that has been bestowed on us. Chairperson, the few words that I would want to introduce the discussion about is with regard to one of the key instruments for planning in the Department of Transport, as you would remember in the last year we spoke to, which is the National Transport Master Plan. We believe that this is the year in which we need to deliver on this master plan, and the process has started where we have been engaging with stakeholders to make sure that the plan could be a South Africa plan, not only a Department of Transport plan, but also you would know that there were two other policy areas that we're working on. One being the National Scholar Transport Policy or Draft Policy. And I'm happy to indicate that that policy has now been adopted by Cabinet, and it is now in the process of being tabled or if anything, to be taken to the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee. And because it is a scholar transport, I'm sure the National Council of Provinces would have an interest in making it possible that they can participate in the particular process. The other one is related to the rail policy. We're still waiting on the consultation between the two departments. We did present the policy in Cabinet, and the decision was that it be further consulted on by the two departments, in particular transport and public enterprises. So we are busy with that particular consultative process. But I'm happy to indicate that one of the instruments for that particular policy being the interim rail economic regulator, the MOU has been signed by the two departments. We are also busy with the finalization of the Federal Transport Economic Regulator, which is an instrument that would, almost like we have with the Energy Regulator, consolidate the regulatory processes or regulatory responsibilities of the Department of Transport instead of the fragmented way that we have them as at present. But also, Chairperson, I need to indicate to you that as a Council of Provinces, I'm sure you are very much interested in knowing exactly how far we are with regard to one of the key programs that we announced last year, which is related to the eradication of potholes. When you would remember that we took a decision that the PRMG must be split in terms of the 60-40, focusing on making sure that 40% covers dealing with the challenges of potholes in our communities, in particular in the provincial and national roads, but also provinces being able to make sure that they can monitor and support our municipalities to make sure that they deal with potholes in the municipal area. While speaking about roads issues, Chairperson, we are at the point at which we can safely say as a department, we are engaging with our agencies to make sure that, in particular, Sandral and the municipalities, we can deal with the matters related to infrastructure funding, in particular, road infrastructure funding. You'd also remember that one of the key things that we had identified is the need to engage the society of South Africa on a better funding model, not necessarily just related to the eTOL situation in Audi, but broadly dealing with the 750,000 kilometers of road network that we have in the country. The other thing that I know that the House or the Council of Provinces has got an interest in is the issue related to public transport. We have, as the Ministry of Transport, in collaboration or in consultation with provinces, agreed that there's a need for us to consolidate the grants that are related to public transport and make sure that we strengthen the support for subsidies to commuters or passenger services in our communities. So the work is a new area of work that we would be engaging in. When we met last year, we were talking about the need for us to finalize the engagement with Treasury with regards to the Mololo Rail Corridor. And I'm happy to indicate to you, Chairperson, that the Mpumalanga and Limpopo provinces have given us the right to proclaim the Mololo Road, which is the R573, into a national road. The only area that is still outstanding is the Gauteng province, which we are still engaging on. Then, Chairperson, That's the areas that I thought I needed to refer to. But Chairperson, later in the year, we would be engaging with the matters related to the need for institutional review of the agencies under the Rose Branch. You would know that the Rose Branch is one branch in the department that has got about five agencies. But if you look at the mandate of these agencies, there's a huge overlap, and there's a need for us to look at reviewing this mandate and make sure that we can consolidate the work that these agencies are doing. Like, for example, you have your ARTIA, which is the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, as well as the Road Traffic Management Corporation, and the CDRTA, all of them dealing with matters related to law enforcement within the road space. And it is important that we look at how we could be able to consolidate and merge or reform these particular institutions so that they can serve the people of South Africa better. In this particular year, we'll also be finalizing the Road Safety Advisory Council, which is a process that started last year, but due to the elaborate and protracted consultation process, we could not conclude on the appointment of the advisory council members, but we are happy to indicate that before the end of this month, we would have appointed this particular council. Without wasting time, Chairperson, let me hand over to the DDG for public transport to go into the matters.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Member. We will then definitely have to go straight into the presentation about the high-speed rail plan and the APP for 2016-16. Now, have
taken cue from the African Union Agenda 2063, which is called the Africa We Need, and there are a number of aspirations in terms of the statements of intent. In terms of the statement of intent, there are about seven aspirations, and then transport. In our space, we believe we can play, I mean, we can do our work in terms of number one, number two, and number six. The aspirations number one, two, and six, which is number one is a prosperous Africa based on inclusive growth and sustainable development. The aspiration number two, an integrated continent, politically united based on the ideas of the Pan-Africanism and the vision of the African Renaissance. Number six, an Africa where development is people-driven, unleashing the potential of its women and youth. I'm just quoting from the document, it's not in the presentation chapter of that document. And we're also therefore a support and play a significant role in terms of the initiatives by the COCTA, the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, in their program called the Back to Basics. Slide number four is the vision and the vision of the DOT. Hasn't changed much over time. Our vision still remains the heartbeat of economic growth and social development. The vision is to lead the development of efficient integrated transport systems by creating a framework of sustainable policies and regulations and implementable models to support government strategies for socio-economic development. The values, our values remain fairness and equity, quality and affordable transport, innovation, transparency, accountability and monitoring, sustainability, financial accountability and accessibility, and always guided by the budgetary principles. The transport mandate in terms of Schedule 4 is a concurrent function, meaning that the responsibility of the ministries of government, national, provincial, and local. And therefore, the national minister is responsible therefore for transport-related areas and functions on the national exclusive functions, but also on concurrent competencies. Slide number eight, the legislative mandate. We want to believe that we therefore are responsible for those modes, that is railways, sea transport, shipping, roads, motor vehicles, and civil aviation. Policy initiatives over the NCSF, this is almost all of those policies have been mentioned by the minister, except perhaps for the president will also be finalizing the maritime policy, will also be finalizing the cabotage policy for coastal regional and continental waters. But we also are going to amend a number of legislation. We also are busy with the road policy, which is what the minister indicated in terms of us finding ways of investment initiatives within the road space. Slide number 12. In slide number 12, in terms of the performance environment within which we operate. We are saying that the department exists for the purposes of ensuring a safe, reliable, efficient, and effective, and affordable integrated transport services. That is borrowed from the mission. But we also are indicating that we not necessarily are presiding or have everything our way, because there are obstacles and challenges in relation to the development of infrastructure in general, but in particular infrastructure and rail infrastructure. maintenance thereof, the expansion of the network, and then, in terms of intergovernmental relations and how we relate to provinces and municipalities as we deal with concurrent functions, the issues around grant conditions, but also grant monitoring. Our problem is the deterioration of the infrastructure and then inadequate investment in transport in general. Slide number 14. What we can therefore then say in terms of intervention and resource basis is that over the next MCSM, we'll be investing 847 billion rand on infrastructure, including, if we are to take also the manufacturing of the so-called density buses, 51 billion will be invested in the rail stock and 4 billion on new hybrid locomotives. Of course, with the factory being established in the southeast Gauteng, Niger, in the next period. The strategic plan in terms of slide 15 is also informed by the service delivery agreement that was signed by the minister and the president. I'll just keep listing them because they are being elaborated upon in terms of how we then respond to those government outcomes. Slide number 16, outcome 4, decent employment through inclusive economic growth. With some outcomes, they're being productive investment, ensuring monitoring of offtake by end users of the infrastructure program, which can indicate how we then contribute to job creation later on in our current year programs, but also in the rail stock program. Outcomes is efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure. The minister has indicated that we definitely are looking at ways of establishing the single transport economic regulator, bringing all economic regulators into one fold and streamlining, but also cutting on duplication. Slide number 18, still on outcome 6. What we will be doing is improving, preserve national, provincial, and local road infrastructure, strengthening road traffic management, improving public transport, and strengthening institutional arrangements for public transport. Minister has spoken about how we then want to rationalize issues around subsidies. And then again, still on outcome number 6, we're going to improve national transport planning to develop a long-term plan for transport that synchronizes spatial planning and align infrastructure investment activities of provincial local government and clearly communicate the state's transport vision to the private sector. And yes, the issue around the integration of land use and transport planning and how the both can collaborate and harmonize in terms of taking development forward. Ensure the development and approval of the integrated transport plan by June 2016. Develop and implement the approved plan and improve market share of containers on road versus rail versus road to ensure that we move road to freight. This is the principle of appropriate cargo for appropriate mode. Slide number 20, sub outcome number 6. We're going into details in terms of how we are involved within the strategic infrastructure project. SIP 1, I'm looking at the Northern Mineral Belt. We'll be rehabilitating the L11 through Sunrise. We are going to and then the Durban Christian Culture Logistics and Industrial Corridor Project. The entry to the Beer Park, the Beer Park in Harrisburg as part of the development of the Harrisburg Hub. C3, slide number 21, Chairperson and members. The South Eastern Node and Corridor Development, the N2 Wild Coast reconstruction, and the Tata Airport upgrade. This one is nearly complete, if I'm not mistaken. The C4 unlock economic opportunities in the Northwest Province. And then 6-7. Slide number 22, integrated effort space and public transportation program. We intervene there in the form of integrated public transport network in 12+1 cities. We will pretend that they're little cities, but it basically joins the late comer into the fold. The 12 cities that are in the strategies are all of those that are listed there. And then outcome 7, comprehensive rural development and land reform. Improving transport infrastructure and public transport in rural areas. Part of the work that we do in terms of ICT development, integrated public transport network development, is that we are also trying, starting to intervene in rural areas. It's no longer urban areas as stated in the public transport strategies. We have already started in two district municipalities. We started with the 27 declared poor municipalities. And then as road development plan for improving rural roads infrastructure implemented, like I have indicated, the number, not necessarily percentage of district municipalities, but the number of municipalities that would have implemented the integrated public transport plan. And outcome 10, protect and enhance our environment assets and natural resources. We're developing the green transport strategy and implementation plan by that work has started. We'll start in the 2015-16 year, but then we hope to finalize this one by March 2018. Key areas of service delivery over the MTSF. Minister has touched on those. I will definitely therefore skip them for the sake of time. But the spend of time on slide number 26 on PRFG programs, with ambitious programs over the MTSF in terms of the rehabilitation of surface roads, 1,150 kilometers. We will refill 3,150 kilometers. We will regrade 3,308 kilometers, and we will do potholes patching to the tune of 850,000 plus square meters. And then the blading, the normal blading of the roads, 367,500 kilometers. All of these projects will be done by province and municipalities, not necessarily by national. We support the program in terms of us ensuring that the money that goes to maintenance of roads has conditions. So this is all done through the DORA money, as I will explain, in terms of the 12 billion plus that goes to provinces. The next slide, number 27, is just a breakdown of all of those targets that were given by provinces in terms of how they therefore then are going to support the program. But it is therefore their target based on both equitable share service delivery over the NTSL continues. Road safety in particular. The minister has spoken about the road safety advisory council. But we continue to support and implement the UN decade of action for road safety. We will amend the R2 Act to deal with the bottlenecks and challenges in terms of implementation of that act. We will also amend the National Rail Safety Regulator, again dealing with issues that impede service delivery. And then we have started and will complete in 2017 the National Rail Safety Strategy. And Civil Aviation Acts and Regulations will also be amended. The Acts will be amended and regulations follow in terms of those amended Acts to make improvement, as well as the Busy Shipping Act. That would be, if you like, the brand new act replacing, I think it's a 50 or 60-year-old act. In that area. And then we also are going to develop this strategy for inland waterways as part of maritime. We seem to be concentrating more in the sea, oceans. But then I've not played quite a significant role in the inland waterways. The transport sector, that is safe and secure. Again, road safety awareness program as part of the 365 day road safety campaign. And then it involves the schools in terms of the road safety education programs. And the other areas also are still in the road space in terms of compliance and inspections, and then the operations and the drunk driving. We can also tell the committee that the draft regulations in this phase of law enforcement are out there for public comment in terms of the intention one to reduce the overall speed limits, but most significantly in area that is contraband interest, the issue around the retesting when the licenses are in the news. Another key performance area over the NTSL is improved rural access, that is like number 8, improved rural access, infrastructure and mobility. We will develop access roads development plans. We have spoken about the IPTN for strong VRTs. But not certainly not VRTs in rural municipalities. It's going to be all the integrated transport plans should be developed in the form of a network. That's why we also call them IPTN. The rural transport strategy is final completion in terms of its review. We developed it a few years ago where it was minimally implemented. That is what prompted us to then have this mid-term review of the strategy, just to want to find out why could it not be implemented at any basis, already finding areas where we can improve. And then a transport policy, when it is indicated, has been approved by cabinet. We hope, therefore, that we will enact go forward in terms of us developing the guidelines, minimum requirements, norms and standards, but also procurement, SOPs, and tariff determination mechanism. So we will be implementing this as a matter of extreme agents, because there are quite a number of challenges in this area. Phase one just amplifies the issues we'll be doing around the national transport policy implementation. Phase two, in terms of public transport services, we will continue, but we we continue with BRCs in the cities that we have started the BRCs, but review them in terms of having to intervene carpet to carpet on BRC systems that are underutilized. We have started the process of reviewing the tax recapitalization program, particularly having been informed by the slow uptake or the deteriorating appetite from taxi operators in bringing all vehicles of credit. We're analyzing the challenges, we're reviewing it for purposes of improving it. But the ultimate goal really being a subsidy regime that the state can render and all embracing with the commuter or the user being the focus. The National Land Transportation Act, again, is the methods that could impede or delay service delivery that we are trying to improve in that space. 33 is an implementation of the what we are doing in terms of the public transportation. The GOT program, that is slide number 87, it is the foremost including administration, integrated planning. I mean administration and integrated planning, which are more transversal and cross-cutting. One being administration, two being integrated transport planning, two being integrated transport planning, three being rail transport, four road transportation, five civil aviation, six maritime, and seven public transportation. Within the organizational environment in terms of the resources and capacity to deliver on these strategies, we acknowledge the fact that there are internal challenges in terms of alignment and allocation of resources, mainly based on the recently restructuring that has happened. But we will definitely, and in terms of the approach structure, continue to fill in vacancies in the department. I think I need to also emphasize, Honorable Mr. President and Honorable Member, that while we strive to fill in these vacancies, we also have a challenge where in, I think almost all the departments were requested to reduce the COE, compensation of employees, by a certain figure. Actually, the figures were even given to us. So while we would want to accelerate this process, we could be challenged in terms of having enough resources, adequate resources, to then fill them, the positions with the person who want us to fill them with. But the key one, most strategic and key ones in the department will definitely be filled. Chair, from slide number 40, is those issues that I have started to introduce now meaningfully in terms of a to-do list. And we have kept that administration because it's transversal. We will start with the integrated transport planning. I will sound like I'm repeating some of the things, but in a more focused way, therefore, this is then our strategic plan over the MTSF in terms of the second column, and then in the third column will be the target in the APP as approved and tabled before Parliament. The strategic objective in integrated transport planning, one of them will be to facilitate integrated macro transport systems planning to guide investment in the sector. Okay, I will move slightly faster because some of those things will be repetition. submitted the final draft of the net map 2050 to Parliament, and in the next year, 2015-16, we'll definitely show that that draft is submitted. So obviously, for the MTF, the post 2015-16 will be areas around the implementation. And then the white paper on national transport policy, the 1996 white paper, has also been reviewed. We're reviewing it. As part of that, in the next year, we'll be busy with consultations with the relevant stakeholders on this policy, and we hope to finalize it within the MTF. And then complete the draft transport infrastructure funding framework, and in the next year, we will have this finalized in terms of consultations and have it approved by the minister in the 2015-16. The draft transport infrastructure funding framework, we will do very little during the conceptualization, but the targets, this will be achieved in the 2017-18.
Complete the pricing framework and submit the same to the minister.
That will be done in the 2015-16, in this financial year. We'll have that done. 41. The second strategic objective in that area is integrated transport planning, being promote national, regional, and continental integration of transport infrastructure and operations. The heritage hub framework will be developed in 2015-16. Road race strategy, that is the road resource issues. The draft will be submitted to ESCO for approval in 2015-16. The single transport economic regulator, that is the objective being enhanced socio-economic transformation. Thank you. Honorable Chair, the members just given me a bottle of water, this is responsible for the greater transport planning. We just wanted to make sure that these issues are well articulated in a clear voice. In terms of the term, the Single Transport Economic Regulator, we will submit the bill to Cabinet in 2016. Private Sector Participation Framework, the framework will be developed next year. So the Green Paper, the Green Transport Strategy will be developed and submitted to Cabinet in the 2015-16. Rail transport as a program, strategic objective being to enhance performance, efficiency, and reliability of the transport sector. The MTSF strategic plan targets will be submitted. The National Railway Bill to Parliament and develop the National Railway Strategy. White paper will be and would have been developed in the 2015-16 as a target. Develop the migration plan for migration unemployment economic regulatory capacity to stem. Depending on the processes that would unfold in realizing STEM, the Single Transport Economic Regulator, the branch would develop a migration plan to move the RER, the Rail Economic Regulator, into the STEM. Submit the branch line strategy to the cluster, cabinet cluster for approval and develop the framework. That will be submitted in this current financial year. It's currently under development. The National Railway Safety to Regulate Amendment Bills to ease out or smooth out or take out impediments to service in this area. The bill would be developed and submitted in the 2015-16 financial year. The National Railway Safety Strategy which assets has been finalized will be taken through the approval process of the 50-60 financial year. 43.
No.
Civil aviation, that is 44. Strategic objective over the MTF being to enhance performance, efficiency, and reliability in the services transport sector. Submit the ACTA and ATNS bills, amendment bills to Parliament. Will be busy with the stakeholder consultations in 2015-16 throughout. Submit the National Civil Aviation Policy to Parliament, and monitor its implementation. This policy will be finalized, submitted to Cabinet in the 15-16 financial year. The NADP, National Airport Development Plan, finalized, will be taking it again through the approval processes through to Cabinet, but also then deliver the issues around the implementation plan. Air services agreements reviewed annually in line with the YD. Every year and on demand, we strategically look at the countries that we can partner and plan about the bilateral air services agreement. So this will be a continuous process. We hope to then have concluded this panel in the 2015-16. Slide number 45. Submit the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill to Parliament. This bill would have gone through, take it through internal processes for approval, and then later to consultation of 2015-16 as a target. Corrective actions for audit findings and safety recommendations. These are the International Civil Aviation Authority's audits that are conducted annually. That they come up with findings. As they make recommendations, we then are obliged to implement those recommendations. Failure to do so might lead into airline boycotting South Africa as a destination. Then we will continue to deal with the addressing the findings, but also preparing for the next audit. Upgrading of the Frankfurt Airport, the upgrades have largely been finalized. That is key here is therefore to then transfer the asset as upgraded to the province, and discussions around that are underway and we hope to finalize that in the 2016 financial year. Submit the regulations on the phasing out of the Chapter 2 aircraft to the minister. The regulations will be submitted to the minister in the 2015-16 annual financial year. 46, maritime. Over the MTSF, we will finalize the white paper on maritime transport policy, and we hope to have it approved by the current parliament. And next year, the green paper will be submitted to cabinet for approval. Not next year. Or is the same next year? This year. This current is 2016. Submit cabotage policy as part of Operation Pakiza. We have to have this policy to ensure that Pakiza happens and happens quite swiftly. The cabotage policy for coastal, regional, and continental waters will be submitted to Cabinet in 2015-16. Submit the cabotage B. Following out of the policy, there will be a strategy and therefore the B. And then we would have taken the draft strategy through internal processes, pending the approval of the policy and the strategy with that fall in terms of approval, and thereafter a bill or legislation. For itself, the draft measured shipping acts, which I indicated was to replace the 60-year-old act, would have to be taken through parliament processes. And then discussion on this emission shipping bill will be submitted for internal consultation goes through that in the 2016. And implement recommendations of the audit findings and ensure readiness for mandatory audit by IMO, International Maritime Organization. The issues and the methods and the approach are the same as the ones that I just explained around aviation in terms of archive. We get audited, we get findings, we rectify, there are follow-up audits to ensure that we rectify, so that we continue to be used by the international community in these two areas. Submit the African Maritime Charter to Parliament. This would have been finalized physically at the level where it is at the door of Parliament, and it should be finalized, should be adopted, hopefully in the 2015-16 financial year. We nearly finished, Chairperson. 48, slide number 48, public transport. I've spoken about the public transport, the rural public transport strategy that has just been reviewed, standardized, gone through internal processes. We will be taking it to cabinet this financial year. We would have finalized at least one IPTF for rural district in 2015-16 as a target. The learner transport policy has been submitted and fortunately approved, likely approved by cabinet. We will continue to scrap vehicles, take the vehicles. Pending on the review, we've set our targets for the MTSF, but the program in terms of the contract comes to an end in March 2016. So that target there, in terms of the planned targets for MTSF, that could change depending on the review and what the review says, how we need to move forward. Assuming we were going to move forward in the current form, we will therefore continue to scrap the vehicles. That builds the integrated public transport turnaround plan to cabinet. Part of the work that we are doing, definitely, to come up with an accelerated program to improve public transport in the country, and coming up with an integrated system. Now, this plan would have to include the issues related to how we integrate taxis into mainstream public transport. So that is the plan that we plan to then have by the end of this financial year, just so that we then improve the lot in the public transport. I think it is no question that the public transport system is deteriorating. And then the last issues are a matter in terms of the template for development of Transplants. I don't know whether they are really going to be relevant, but I will just go through them very quickly. The next part being the linkages to other plans. The Rail Development Corridor, we have spoken about it in terms of what it is. 54 Devon Dagat Port Development, that is the expansion of the capacity as a Devon port. And then additional grants to provinces and municipalities. Of course, it is relevant to this committee. We have got the public transport operations grants. Basically, that is what is known as bus subsidy from slide 56, Rorotel. Public transport operations grants, that's your bus subsidies 4.9. Public transport network grants, I think there is two in one. It is the public transport infrastructure assistance grant plus the public transport network operations grant. In total, they are 5.9 billion, just under 6 billion. The PRMG, which is the Samba Song, that's under 10 billion, 9.8 billion. And then there was a small grant, which is called the Rural Road Asset Management System. Basically, this grant is to assist municipalities to develop decision-making support systems, commonly known as RAMS, Road Asset Management Systems, so that each and every authority can be in a position to know, firstly, how many kilometers of the road network they have as a share of the 750,000 kilometers that we have spoken about, but secondly, in what condition they are in, to help them to assist in taking decisions in terms of interventions and where to intervene. So that's what we have set up in terms of establishing the grant to develop this decision making support system. Second, the transfers to public entities 58. PASA will receive 18 billion, 18.2 billion. I'll just mention the big one. PASA will receive 18.2 billion. SAMRA will receive 12.5 billion. And then, those are the major ones. The others goes into millions. Not that the million is not much, but I just wanted to then indicate which are really the for lack of a better way, it's cost driver. We've got the 150p registered, but we are in the process of having to finalize the PPP arrangement for the Mulot Rail Development Corridor. I think the fleet management system is also another PPP type of arrangement. That then concludes the presentation from the department on the strategic plan and over the MTSS as well as the APP for 2015-16, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. For questions, I will definitely be assisted by my colleagues because all of these areas are well represented in this room today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Time in which you have been able to present this to us, which gives members sufficient opportunity to be able to engage with the presentation. Can I, with that, then agree that we'll start from that side? We'll have Honorable Jimunia first, then we'll have Honorable Bihari. And then that will be followed by.
So thank you, Chair, and thanks for the presentation, SMPG. My worry, I'm going to start with a problematic one, and I think it is also common cause of your part, Minister and Deputy, and the official said. For years, for time immemorial, tax operators have been low at themselves. I think it is common cause to all of us. They operate the so-called pirate squad. Their public relations are really way out of the interests of the polluters they're supposed to serve. And this has been going on and on and on. I have been victim of that myself previously. What are we doing as a department to really turn around that situation in the taxi industry? But my second point, Minister, is around the issue or the turnaround time around national legislation that is currently presented national, but also in terms of some of the humanitarian issues are delegated through that legislation to the provincial government. My observations in my previous land is that it takes years for provincial government sometimes to play their part in terms of that which is promulgated in a national law on their part. I would make a similar example of the implementation of the NLTA or the transition period from the NLTA to the NLTA, from the NLTA to the NLTA. My observation is that some of the departments at provincial level have not even started to implement the NLTA as required. And the implications thereof are really going to the extent or they are actually giving us outcomes that are undesirable sometimes. The other point I want to make, and thank you very much, Minister Zemuroto Kodito, has been such a where the Ganegwane Minister. EIC is organizing the Ganegwane then. Thank you very much that you have made it work in your time as Minister of the Department. I have been a resident in that area since 1981, Minister. That road has been a problem for years. Many lives have been lost there. Now that this road is getting off the ground, this corridor is getting off the ground, and you correctly conceptualize and conceive transport as the heartbeat of the economy, what other economic spin-offs? In this case, I know this may be your secondary mandate. What other economic spin-offs in your capacity as member of the economic cluster of ministers that can be explored now that this corridor is seeing the day of the light of the day, to put it correct. I am saying this, Minister, because it is also important to as a department, even though it may not be our primary mandate, to perhaps initiate some of the things, especially on the economic side and the development of the economy of that area, the township economy, the concept that has been spoken about, it is spoken about now of late, and also the village economy, because those economies of those villages remain in that area. If something has been done in the past, the load of commuters that are commuting to that area and Pretoria would have been addressed many times ago and would have avoided the lives that we have lost along that road. If we have addressed the economic challenges of that area very early as government, I know we have done a lot, but still a lot needs to be done. I'm talking about the possibility, Minister, of perhaps from the beginning, attached to this project, this massive project, a possibility of also commissioning a study around the feasibility and the viability of declaring that whole catchment area a special economic development zone, like we've done in other places, in other areas in the country. And on that score, Minister, I must share with you that I shall be moving a motion in this respect in the House myself around that issue. I don't want to take you into confidence on that. Also, the possibility, I know we are doing this is a massive project, you need to be concentrating on it, but also another route that links that area, that links economically and socially with that area is the village area south of Kwantlanga, Ekangala, Provost Plains area, and Dalmas. And Dalmas is now becoming a mining town. At the time, we have a big industrial park there that has become a white elephant almost. And the government has assisted to alleviate the commuting problem between Pretoria and Komkhamba or the entire Komamandebele area. Those are two issues that I wanted to Minister. Thank you very much.
Colleagues from the Department of Transport, know that you are engaging with members here that constitutionally have to look at their provincial mandates and priorities. So therefore you'll find a different slant in terms of the matters that are being raised with you. But they're doing it because that's what they are here for.
Sorry, Chair, can I quickly interrupt for the Honourable Member Gabby? Can I ship out? I know I have posed questions. I just have an urgent call from the principal that I need to be briefing them on something. The principal of the institution, the SOP. Now I want to leave the meeting quickly, actually.
Tell the principal they can't do this to us. It's not acceptable. What are those you having?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I also don't agree with the request from the Honorable Member, Mr. Miguel. I hope you will come back. DBG, thank you very much for the presentation. I was happy and I was touched by the vision and the mission of this partner. And I wish you the best in all your work that you're going to go ahead with it. But then allow me to touch on the basis whereby we are talking about ensuring transparency, accountability and monitoring of all operations. We visited PE at the Mandela Metro Bay, and in one of our visits, we came across with many buses that are stuck there. So I just want to be clarified about what is going to happen, what will be the process, why is there no more monitoring, what plan can we come across so that we make sure that those buses are helping the people in the city. And also the members of the community were complaining about the transport for the scholars, that we don't have transport. And when you check on those buses, and you then ask yourself, why is that you and people are suffering? So that is my, I don't know whether it's a concern for the government.
Honorable Kaula.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and then the EDC, Honorable Minister, and the team for the presentation. Chairperson, transporting school children on then what are you doing about that? Especially in respect of what you are doing, problem. But in respect of what you have written here, I just want to understand the context of all this. Last time, Chairperson, we met the department, spoke about the railway line between Kwashafin and Harding. And the department had promised that that line was one of the rail lines they are looking into. But so far, nothing has happened. I'd like to know what is happening there. And the chairman, Central Port, estimated between 75 and 100 million. At the moment, what I see there is, I think that old airport is still being utilized by Toyota. It's used as a warehouse by Toyota. We see nothing of this what happened. How far have you gone in respect of your plans towards doing what you have written here? When is it starting? What are your time frames like? Slide 32, review of the tertiary recapitalization program. I'm not sure that this time frame, is it a new time frame where you're not supposed to have finished this by 2015, but I would like you to just go back to the time frame and explain to us what is happening in respect of the program. Slide 30, review of the Rail Transport strategy. I would Chairperson be happy to get that strategy. However, I was not aware there is something like that, because I'd like to know what is in this in the strategy. And then on slide 26, in respect of work that is done in behalf of the department by the provinces and the municipalities, there is that blading of gravel roads, which is financially over 7,500 kilometers. Chairperson, I stay in a rural area, and the roads are very bad. And at the times when these gravel roads get this kind of service, what the province will do is they will hire the services of a private team. Now, what they do is nobody is monitoring what is happening. It doesn't get monitored. You get reports that the roads have been bladed, and the roads are terrible. So in between yourselves as nation and your province, I would like to know, how is this monitored? Because if it were done enough by government, this would be a different story. Now, you get it from outside streets. And then people don't get monitored. So you can claim money from government. And then people are not doing the work that they are supposed to do. You pay them, but the roads are there. So I would like to know how to do this monitored, because the government is calling the people and the price of my car. I have one of them got to bear. Go to Woodman and another next one. I'm going to raise the Woodman coaches, but the roads are just terrible. The last one is what Honorable Dekal has just questioned about in respect of what you saw when you went to the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I use your office as well. Let me start by saying that an adequate transport system makes it possible to commercialize the economy effectively, and I think we all will agree with that. That central role that transport plays in the economy of the country. The issue with regard to an integrated public transport network, I think Mombela is one of the towns, one of the cities that has been selected in very, very urgent need in Mombela. If I could get some idea of exactly what is being planned and what is being envisaged for Mombela. The other issue is I must commend the minister, I must commend your department. I think the vision that is carried in this document is excellent, but I want to ask whether we are preparing ourselves, especially with regard human resources that are going to be necessary for the long-term development of the strategy. I'm looking at particularly, and I'm raising this with almost every department that presents to us. I'm thinking specifically of the new universities that are being developed in South Africa, the two new universities, and whether your departments are engaging with their departments of higher education to ensure that there will be courses presented in these universities that will be job-oriented courses. I think that this is going to be very important. We don't want to be 5 years from now sitting with universities that have courses in place, but in order to ensure that the vision that your department has in mind for it to materialize, we are actually having to then send our people overseas to study overseas. So it's in this light that I am raising this particular issue. Again, I think that it is very important, and I'm raising this also with almost every department. I think we find that there is a lot of problems at the provincial and local government levels with regard to audits, etc. I think all the national departments have clean audits, but what are you people doing to ensure that the same will apply at provincial? I think it's necessary for your departments to ensure that the departments at provincial and local government level are also delivering according to their budgetary constraints. And the issue of manufacture of rolling stock, I want to ask whether we are also looking at, okay, we are looking at expanding our rail systems in this country, that of course will bring me to my next one, but are we looking at the manufacture of, or the manufacture of the equipment that will be needed to develop the rail infrastructure, the railway line infrastructure, the manufacture specifically of railway lines and other related components. This then brings me to the next question. You know, South Africa is one of the only countries in the world where the working population is transported from place of abode to place of work and not utilizing a rail system. Now, we know that it's universal that we utilize the rail and the bus transport system. South Africa, because of the history behind it, we know that the taxi industry has developed. I hear concern expressed by some of the members, but I think what we should do in the long term is to ensure that as we develop the bus systems and the rail system, that we bring the taxi industry on board with the development of these systems, so that what I'm saying is that allow the taxi owners, the taxi drivers, and the people working in the taxi industry to be able to participate as we grow the bus system as well as the rail system by giving them shares or whatever it is. But we should look at that as a future going ahead, so that we can move gradually away from what is a very, very costly system. But I'm sure all of us agree with it. We know that it's costing us much more to transport the population, our people, by utilizing the present system, and that we need to move towards the systems that are universal in many other countries in the world. And in so doing, we should ensure that we do not compromise the people that are already actively participating in the taxi industry. I've made my point. Thank you,
Chairperson. Thank you very
much. Honorable Chair, are you covered? The other meeting is much closer to speak on my behalf, but not here at the end. Chair, thank you so much. Thanks, Minister. On your, and probably the first day, Minister, I must concur with you that we need to streamline the agency's role as we move forward with the necessary speed, of course, so that there's no overlapping of the roles that we now see happening in different entities that are under your divine authority. On slide 12, DDG, your non-adherence to grant conditions. When you got here, you spoke about something that I thought it was different from what is written. We would want to get a sense as to what is it that the department is doing with the non-adherence to grant conditions to avert the situation deteriorating as we move forward. So that we don't because grant serves as a need for us to be able to complement the necessary infrastructural measures that should take place at different levels. And we should be serious about how grants that are being allocated are being used in an appropriate way. Welcome, Honorable. The 14, the third bullet point, the target of not less than 65% of the local content. What are we targeting? Are we targeting 65 or 70? Where is our basis? The localization, local content. What is it that we want to do? Where do we draw the 65? Page 21. Second bullet point. 3-4. Unlocking economic opportunities in the Northwest Province. What are those? Unfortunately, we represent provinces as we have. And we would want to get a sense as to what are progress that have been recorded in our nearest provinces. And we would want to get a sense as to what are these that are being recorded in our province. The other issue, many times we know that the issue of the alignment takes a different configuration when it gets to the provinces. What you are responsible for is national, when it gets to provinces, sometimes your responsibility is allocated to public safety, others in other public places. But we think that EPWP, in terms of the job creation priorities, plays a critical role there, and we don't see it finding expression in the presentation. To what extent have we been able to make a dent into the unemployment rate through the EPWP? What do we intend moving forward? And what are these that we can be able to put in place to remedy the situation? The other thing, I think in the last presentation that you did, Minister, we agreed that there's a massive burden put on our road infrastructure by Sprite that we should be able to take away to put it on rail away from our roads, reduce the burden there, and be able. And we know that this matter is very historical. If you want to go to Rustenburg today, you see only public transport that we have is massive taxi operation. Rail infrastructure is sitting there, dilapidated, not being used. It's been used once or twice in a day by mining houses to do their local transportation. And therefore, that is the investment into our rail infrastructure that took place just before the dawn of our democracy. It's a very great disservice to our own people, but to also our plans to diversify mode of transport and also be inclusive and diversify. We know that more often than not, we concentrate on other, on your roads, on your, we are giving little attention to aviation and maritime. But we know that your department is taking control of that. But we would want to see the inclusiveness and the social cohesion that we want to build taking place in those sectors so that we see how our people have been given space to go there and contribute. Chair, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Minister, allow me that before we give you and the colleagues an opportunity to respond, Deputy Minister, to just raise something that I checked with the Secretary. In the presentation that you have made to us, you did not present your figures, your monetary figures to us. DDG, are you still going to do that? That would, let me just raise that and then make a comment to say that maybe in another engagement with you, look at exactly how you contribute to the Agenda 2063 that you have mentioned, and also on the SADC integrated economic approaches. We understand that there are time constraints to a presentation here, and I'm raising that because some of the questions that could have been raised with you, you may also have not covered because of the time constraints. So we appreciate, however, the presentation. It doesn't take away anything to say that it is short. Can we?
Thank you, Jefferson. Like the DDG indicated, we are a team for myself and the Deputy Minister, and the DDGs and other representatives that are here. The CFO is also here in attendance. But I think I will ask the DDGs to respond to the technical questions, where after myself and the Deputy Minister will come in. But just to indicate to the select committee that you'd remember that in the beginning of our term, the President made a special plea to ministers to make sure that there is a clear-cut delineation or designation of responsibilities for Deputy Ministers. One of the key things that the Deputy Minister of Transport is looking at in the department over and above the entities that have been delegated to her is maritime. And I'm sure you would be aware that the President, in his visionary leadership and wisdom, saw the importance of creating in the DFR processes, which is also called Operation Pakifa in our local conceptualization, to focus first and foremost on maritime. And one of the key outcomes of the laboratories that were created was the one related to the oceans economy. And under the oceans economy, we have been delegated a delivery unit called Maritime Transport and Manufacturing, which focuses on the transport-related maritime space, including manufacturing issues of shipbuilding, rig, as well as ship repairs, so as to make sure that we could also make it possible that we can grow this particular space. We're also envisaging in the outer time frame to create a definite transshipment hub for the African continent or the, even the South arrangement, because as you can look at our geographic location, South Africa is centrally located from the west to the east. And if you look at the Southern America and China, we are actually well positioned to be a halfway house. So it means that the opportunity for transshipment is also available. But also, if you look at the volumes of ships that move around the coast of South Africa, we want the space to truly make it possible that we can not just be a halfway house, or also alternatively what we usually call ourselves, Deputy Minister, the graveyard of stranded ships, or the dumping ground of those ships that are not necessarily able to continue in their particular journey. We would want to make sure that whatever goods come from whatever part coming to South Africa can be able to transship at a particular point and then be loaded onto ships that would be South African. So it's part of the bigger strategies. So the DDGs would answer, like I said, the technical questions. And the other thing that we delegated to the Deputy Minister, and the Deputy Minister will speak to that, is matters related to skills development, as well as matters related to a special program like your youth,
gender and children's matters. But I'll allow the DDGs to respond to those, and the Deputy Minister will speak to other aspects. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Honourable Chairperson and the members, other the Deputy Minister is also going to have a say before we come in. But it's fine, we will deal with the technical questions. Now, I will take some of the general questions, but for obvious reasons, I will also then focus on public transport questions, and then my colleagues will come in their different areas of focus. Aviation will be Mr. Tala, rail will be Mr. Tavares, and so on.
Can I just interrupt you and say that let us see if we could finish that by 12:05.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It would therefore then brings me to the issue around the budget. We have been informed that we should come to present the AGP as the last plan, and then we then touched on matters that are relevant to MCOP. And I think in the past we used to present them separately, the AGP thrust plan, and then the budget later on. But we always have presentations of those measures on hand with us in terms of a detailed presentation on money. Now, as Chairperson is saying, we need to be done by 5:05. Because it's another hour presentation on the budget. And then also I have to deal with the questions. I don't know how we're going to deal with that.
Especially based on the fact that the budget speech will be next week, I would therefore indulge that we give the department an opportunity to present the budget so that we can then all, based on your schedule going on, we can then come back for other matters related to the general department related type of responsibilities. We would come back for the ICTN, we would come back for the scholar transport, we'll come back for each and every aspect of our program. But the budget is really very important. Can we then agree that the CFO quickly take you through if the system will allow? I think we just did what we were asked to do.
Honorable members, I would want to make a ruling on this matter. We have no choice. If we're going to debate the budget, it must have been presented to the Select Committee. And the APP and the strategic plan are all elements, very important elements thereof, but we need to look at the figures as well. So, Minister, we are not saying go through the finer detail of it. I thought that we'll just have something, what most of the other departments have done, was to say this is what we're spending on Edmund, this is what we're going to spend on entities, this is what we're going to be spending on your priorities as you have broken it down, without going into the finer detail thereof. And then we would appreciate having such a document also maybe emailed to us. If you send it to Mr. Erasmus, he will make sure that it gets circulated for everybody. That would be the one thing. The second, Minister, I would want to look at the questions that have been raised, and I'm looking at the members. What we did with another department a week or two ago, when we could not conclude the questions, we tested with the department whether they could give us the answers in writing. And then it doesn't then end there. We will then, as a priority, look on placing you on the set list so that you could come back to us as soon as possible. Now, I concur with us getting the reports of all the other then we are mindful that if we look at our program now, we are running into August, because we're in June now, we're doing the budget in July, we're going to be doing constituency work, oversight, and then we'll come back in August. We are busy looking at the program, so what we will do then, Minister, is to try to put the Department of Transport as one of the first to represent us in the Select Committee during the next term. What is happening with the IT guy that could have helped us with it? And they can't get a cable in the whole of Parliament. Is the CFO ready to do the presentation? Yes, it's just always right, but everything has been taken away from us, the mission. The presentation is better. He can talk over it, but obviously it would have been better if it was on the screen and then we leave the document. But we are ready.
Can I request that the CSO talk to us about it? We will then, maybe after he's presented for 5 minutes, be able to assess the extent to which we are progressing.
Once the CFO gets ready, Chairperson, I just want to indicate that in terms of the conditional grant, you should have realized that under slide 56 and the breakdown for public entities under 58, the only thing that was not done is the usual provincial breakdown of the budget, except to say that under roads there is also an indication, I just don't get the slide. There's an indication of the breakdown for the provinces that have now submitted their EPPs and or signed off. Yeah, slide 27. Okay. And at slide 27, it is the PRMG grant, which is the grant that has been used especially to deal with the issues related to rehabilitation of roads, dealing with potholes, matters related to the upgrading of the gravel roads to surface roads and all those. So the indications are there on the breakdown of this particular kilometer that has been signed off. And usually what we do in the NCOP is to present the actual grants and plans that will be given to the province. So as to make sure that the resources are equitably distributed in the provinces. The CFO is here, he can speak to the provinces.
Thank you, Minister. Technology is facing me today. But the total budget that we have about now 53.8 billion, right? Much more today of the budget is about 96% of that goes to transfers.
Sorry, I didn't get that amount. Did you say 3.8?
It's 3.8.
not to say about.
All the amounts are there. They are for example.
But what you're saying is about.
I didn't want to go into 104,000 for the RCMC. Rail safety regulator 53,379,000. Passenger rail agency of South Africa is 18,222,047,000. Why I'm there about them, trying to round it off because it's really long figures. And then we go to conditional grants, which are grants that go to either provinces in the main and the rest also go to municipalities. We have a public transport operations grant, the one that goes to provinces. It was known as what is known as the bus subsidies. The amount is 4,939,448,000. Then we've got the public transport network grants. That's the one that helps us also with CRT. The amount is 5,953,090,000. And then we have the PRMG, which is the Provincial Road Maintenance Grant. That also goes to provinces. And the amount is 9,850,655,000. Then we have got the Rural Roads Asset Management System grant, which goes to municipalities, and that amount is 96,842,000. So that's the long and short of the transfers that we have. And that is the majority of the budget.
It has been very revealing for me, but let me just test that with the members. Members, are you okay if it's presented to us in that way from now, with an understanding that by tomorrow, 12 o'clock, you would have received the figures via email? On a
It's a whip of this committee, I must say, I'm very disappointed. I'm very, very disappointed. But given the situation, can I say that we can note this presentation? But let's get this budget, a written copy of this budget, by the end of this.
Okay, this is a amendment. I said by 12 tomorrow, you said end of business today. Sorry?
We have the presentation.
Can you mail it immediately when you get back to office? There's a good man here, the PLO, he's a master, you know. He comes from Northwest, and he will help you. You can, because you need to mail it to Martins Erasmus, and he will send it on to all of us. So then you're covered then, Honorable Mutimunya. We'll get it.
Okay, yes,
today. Honorable Dihale, and then we'll take the Deputy Minister.
Okay. My request is that next time they must also make sure that they give us a copy before they come to the commission. remember we normally allow partners to go back and do their preparation. So it will be to look outside for us, to other departments and the others. But I really respect my leaders, and I know they know that we will go to do the presentation before they come to the conference. Thank you.
Are you sure that you have not seen it? I think it has been sent to us.
Okay.
You can send it again. I remember I had a long meeting with Mr. Khasa. You see, Jomo, I don't even know your surname anymore. We had a long meeting in my office also with the secretary, where they sent us the documents like the next day. And this was about 2.5 weeks ago. And if I remember correctly, the budget was in there. But my concern was it was not presented to us yet. Well, let's ask the Deputy Minister first before we go to you. I noticed there's someone there at the back, but I'll give the Minister priority first. So we'll have Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Bauda, and then the gentleman sitting there next to the GDCMO.
Jefferson, when the invitation indicates that a department must come and present the APP and the status report, we understood. At that time, you remember, we were given an invitation that we'll be coming here around the 12th of May. That was the initial period and date that we were given. And then when that did not happen, we omitted, and I want to indicate that maybe what we did was to omit to ask whether it now means that the focus of the presentation has changed from the APP and strategic plan to the budget. Because that is the information that we didn't have. The documents have been submitted right enough to the select committee, but for purposes of today's presentation, the request was clearly around the APP and the strategic plan. And if there was a misunderstanding in terms of what is expected of us here today that led to the week's disappointment, then I think it is important that we correct the communication, because that is what we were informed to come and present here today. And I just want to actually indicate that earlier on I have indicated that the conditional grants have been reflected here, as well as the breakdown to the entities. The only thing that is not reflected is the overall budget of the department and how it is broken down in terms of what goes to administration and what goes to each and every program or each and every branch. But in terms of the reflection on the transparency and what needs to be done in this financial year, with regards to the conditional grant and the 96% that goes to entity, it is truly reflected. Thank you, Chairperson.
Apologize. soon as possible, latest by 4 o'clock this afternoon. And we thank you very much, Minister and colleagues, for that. Can I then just test the members in terms of the remaining questions? I know Honorable Kaula has to run because the other delegate of his party is not here. It is raining. And, you know, Mr. Kaula represents his entire party in the NCOP. So he had to run to another meeting, which is something that we really appreciate about members like him, that they go to committees where their attendance is desperately needed for the committee to consolidate its work. So there's another committee that he serves on where they need to approve the minutes. And he has to run because he's been part of the meeting, otherwise the minutes can't be approved. So we appreciate him having to leave us. But Honorable Dikhale has also got to run, because she is our chairperson on the PIGR, and she must have a meeting with the counterpart in the NA. Fortunately, I said, let's finish by 12:05. She only needs to leave by 12:15, because we have to accept our minutes. Yes, they want to go. But, colleagues, members, are we in agreement that we do two things as a follow-up? The one is we request the Department of Transport to answer the questions that we have raised in writing to us. We need to hear from you what time frame we can work on for that. And the second thing that we are saying is, Minister, we would work on ensuring that very early in the next term we schedule another briefing with the Department of Transport, and we will then communicate after we have consulted with your liaison officer. We will communicate clearly with you what the issues are that we would want to engage you on in that next briefing. So, Deputy Minister, I'm the person that is passionate about Operation Pakiza. The province where I come from, we have a big sea in Gauteng. and then also the other things that have been raised about the repair, the ship repair, and those type of things that the ministers have raised. In the last committee, we asked the question, or someone asked me the question, what do you mean when you're saying you're going to expand the ocean economy? Can you expand the ocean? So it would be those type of things, which are questions that our constituents are raising with us, that we would, at an opportune moment, want to raise with you. So the fact that we are now trying to conclude the meeting without listening to you, Deputy Minister, is because the issues of Operation Pakiza is very important to us, and we wouldn't want to rush through that. We would want to engage you rigorously on that. Please, Deputy
Minister. Of time frame with regards to submission of answers. The plan is not that oriented about the processes of NCOP, but if it was in the NA, for instance, I would have known that you need to adopt the report 3 days before the debate happens. And that would therefore determine the days on which or the day on which you must submit our responses. So I'm not very sure to what the process is in the NCOP, because if you are to adopt the report before we debate it, and you need 3 days, then it means you must submit the answers as quickly as possible this week, because the debate is next week on the 10th. So probably that can actually guide us on the time frame that you put before us for us to submit the answers, which I think it can be done as quickly as possible. Okay.
Sorry, fortunately we've been given 2 years. So I did hear what you're saying, Deputy Minister, but our experts on this was also advising me, and I have a way in which you're going to deal with the matter, which is not going to jeopardize the claims that we have anyhow. Do you want me to proceed with that?
Yes, please.
out of the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development on the budget vote and annual performance plan 2015-16 of the Department of Transport, vote number 35, dated the 2nd of June 2015, which is today. Then we say that this Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, having considered budget vote 35 and the annual performance plan 2015-16 of the Department of Transport, reports that it has concluded its deliberations thereon. And I sign it. And this goes to the House. And once our chairperson receives that, then the date for the budget vote becomes. And is there anybody that is against us reporting that we have considered the budget vote and that we have concluded our deliberations there? No? Okay. Then we sign this and then it's done. Now with the questions, Deputy Minister, this is not a sitting of the NCOP. It's a select committee. So the select committee, just look at what is convenient for us and Honorable Bauder. In the last meeting, it was actually the DA who proposed that we just receive the questions in writing. It's not something that I could personally welcome very much. You know, I prefer to engage with people directly, but we say that these questions are important. If we could have them within the next 3 days, that would be a great help for us in our own preparations for the debate itself. I see the Deputy Minister shaking her head. Minister?
Chairperson, I can commit that we will submit within the period stipulated the responses to the question. And I don't know whether the committee or the chairperson will then be able to get back to us or what would be the procedure, but I think 3 days is sufficient time. We will be able to provide you with the necessary response.
Thank you very much. Minister, can I just clarify when you say get back to you? Because once you give us the answers, even if we disagree with your answers, it's your answers.
Thank you, Chairman.
Can we with that then, honourable members, allow the Minister, Deputy Minister, to leave us with sincere appreciation for the presentation that you have made to us today. It was welcoming, it was illuminating. With the hurdles that we have had, we were even able to overcome those. And Minister, we want to acknowledge at the same time that sometime last week already, we have received the annual performance plan, a hard copy, as well as the strategic plan, hard copies, and there are figures in there as well. It's not in the format that we would have seen it in other departments, but the figures are there. It's not that the figures are hidden to us. So we'd want to just acknowledge that as we discuss the official presentation from the department. Thank you very much, Minister. Deputy Minister. Colleagues, we just have two things to do. The one thing that we need to do is that there's two sets of minutes before us. The minutes of the 14th of May and the minutes of the 19th of May. Now, the 14th of May, we had Honorable Terry, Honorable Bauda, who were there, and Honorable Kabula. So one of you would have to then look at proposing and seconding the minutes. We had the presentation that was made for us by the Department of Public Works. You will remember that on the Wabalda. We had then on page 4, the third item was deliberations. And then on page 5, there was a resolution. The acting chairperson proposed that due to time constraints, the presentation with regard to the property management trading entity be presented in the third term. The committee agreed to the proposal. Was it the property managing trading entity or was it EPWP? The property management trading, okay. Can we get anybody to propose it? There's nothing else that's binding us except that one resolution. Can we have a proposal for the acceptance?
Chair, I'm comfortable with the program for that
position. Honorable Chairman, Honorable Bada. Thank you very much, Honorable Bada. Let's then look at the meeting of the 19th of May, colleagues. There we had Honorable Suga Chair. Oh. And then we had Honorable Tebe there, and we had Honorable Kapula. So because I wasn't chairing, I can propose acceptance. Because other than that, we had Honorable Van Dingen and Honorable Lond. On page 3, we have the opening and welcome. There was a presentation that was done for us by the Department of Small Business Development, and the minister was there herself to do the presentation. And then on the deliberations, that has been covered. There was the adoption of the minutes of the 5th May. There was an announcement that the chairperson, Honorable Suka, made an announcement that he has been deployed by the ANC to work at the Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan Municipality as the chief work. He thanked all members and staff for their support. And the meeting then adjourned. Honorable Tedder?
Is there any if the lack of facts on page 6 of the announcement, if we say the chairperson, Honorable Suka, made an announcement that he has been redeployed, and we thank all members and staff for the support that he has for the duration of his employment in the chair of the state.
Have you noted that, Honorable? I think that is acceptable.
Yes.
Okay. I second that. So that's the next. Honorable members, two other matters. The one announcement is that we will be debating I thought that you